Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Well Women Podcast. I'm your host, Laura, and I'm really excited for today's episode because I am with someone who most of you, or some of you at least, may know. And it's actually one of my good friends as well, Jessica. So, for those of you who don't know her, Jessica is best known for her role as Janet Middleton on the award-winning television series Degrassi. Jessica has since graduated from the public relations program at Durham College, and she's actually created her own blog in correlation to her Instagram account at Jessica Tyler Official. She showcases the reality behind the entertainment industry and speaks to everyday struggles of being a woman, in today's society. Jessica takes pride in being a mental health and body positive advocate. So I'm super excited to talk to Jessica today. Hi, Jess.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. So, really, today we're going to highlight, kind of go through your experiences as a young actress and kind of being in the spotlight. And then we're really going to get into mental health and body positivity.
Sounds awesome.
So tell me a bit about being a young actress and how that translated into high school. And did that make it difficult for you to have friendships and relationships and that sort of thing?
Well, I definitely grew up pretty different than the average teenager, I would say. Growing up on a television series, I mean, there were so many amazing perks. It was a great experience, but certainly, making new friends and focusing on my studies and thinking of what I'd take in college or university just wasn't really on my radar. So, I mean, it was different for me. Making new friends was, I don't know, it was hard. I really always kind of thank my older sister for letting me kind of just be attached to her hip while I grew up. Most of her friends became my friends, and we've have such a great bond, which is really nice. But it's interesting because when I think about like friends that I have to this day, they kind of never really, I mean, they weren't really new friends when I was on the show. Like, I think most people that I connect with now, I kind of connected with before I started filming, which kind of just proves a lot, I
Yeah,
guess.
absolutely.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, when did you start doing Degrassi, and how long did you do it for, and basically how old were you?
So I started on that show. I was about 15 or 16, and I was on it for about 6 years. I think I completely finished it when I was about 21.
Okay.
So most of my growth in my life was spent on that show. I mean, my cast members became like family, spent so much time with them, and we traveled together a lot. So there was a big bond there, which was nice.
Yeah, and it must have been super impactful on your growth as an individual. Those ages are such a plastic time in our development. So
Oh my God, yeah.
all of your growing was really in the public eye.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to grow up and have a family like that, but it also, a con was that I'm going through puberty and I'm growing
Yeah.
into my body and pimples and weight gain and all these things that we all experience. Mine just happened to be blasted across the world. So
And on that note, did you feel when you were an actress on that show as a young teenager, did you feel judgments from people? Like people thought you were supposed to be a certain way? Were there people who used your character that you played? Because I know you did a few controversial things as your character. Did that translate into your everyday life, or did people kind of understand that, or how did that happen?
I mean, I think relating back to trying to be a normal teenager in high school, I think a lot of people, there's automatic assumptions that, oh, she's on TV, she thinks she's cooler than us, or that she's above us, or just kind of stuff like that. I think it's easy for people to pinpoint things on you when you're in the public eye instead of if you're not. So I mean, it definitely it was hard. I think I did learn a lot from being on that show. And I got into the working industry far earlier than most people did. I mean, I was 15 having a full-time job.
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
so I mean, I always look back and I definitely know. I mean, I like to think that my work ethic today has a lot to do with that and my early beginnings in the working environment. But yeah, it certainly was weird, like growing
Yeah.
up on a set, being in the public eye and trying to balance a normal life on top of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the things that teenage girls already struggle with. you're kind of struggling with that and having a full-time job that is so public and kind of everybody sees you. And so, on that note, how was it the transition from going from acting and singing to the quote-unquote real world, or just different than that industry, in a different industry altogether? How was that transition?
It's so hard. My honest answer. I think I'm still struggling with this, and it gets better every day. But one thing was, I think I set the bar really high for myself. My first job I ever had was probably in a job that I'll make the most money I've ever made. And just it was really great working in an environment that I was passionate about, I loved. I genuinely woke up every day and was excited to be there and to go there, and I wanted to put all of my effort into it. Whereas now, I think a lot of people can relate to not loving their job and to going somewhere every day that's more of a grind, and it pays the bills and there's perks. But I think a big struggle for me is not working in a field that I'm super passionate about. And I know I'm not alone on that, which helps, but it's frustrating just because looking back on that time and knowing, I mean, I don't even think I knew then what I know now, sort of thing. But it is frustrating. The transition is difficult, and it's difficult to explain to people kind of why I am doing now, kind of how I ended up here. It's a bit of a process, which I love taking any chance like this to kind of explain it further, because I think if I were on the outside, I'd want to know as well. It's definitely different and unique. So I can't blame people for asking, but it's certainly, it's frustrating, but it's something I'm trying to get used to.
Yeah, and do you feel judged by people? So people have been following your journey, and they're kind of like, "What are you doing now?" Or "What are you posting now?" Or are you feeling judged about the decisions you make career-wise or work-wise? Like they should be a certain decision, but they're not? Or are you kind of going through that with stride?
Oh my gosh, no. I definitely feel the judgment is there. Obviously, thankfully, of course not, from my family and my close friends, but from the outside looking in, I think there was a huge expectation, and I will say even from myself, that after Degrassi, you would just go on to be the next Drake or Nina or whoever, because people see that and they just think that that's it's going to just pave the way. But there's so much behind the scenes that goes on, and there's a lot of waiting by the phone and not making money, and there's a lot that goes into it, and I think people kind of forget about that. So certainly, I think there's tons of judgment now. I used to think people were disappointed in me, but now I think it's more just they don't get it, like, which I can't blame them. But I think I've learned to accept kind of where I'm going in my life, and I'm taking the right steps to do exactly what it is I want to do. And I'm trying to embrace the change, and it's exciting and nerve-wracking and all the things, but I don't know if everyone else has accepted that yet.
Yeah, and ultimately it really doesn't matter. But on that note, you've kind of, and I feel like this is actually very common with people who are TV personalities, or they've done movies, or whatever else the case may be. With the rise in social media, you often get thrown into this role of being an instant influencer. So it's not, a lot of people now in this Instagram world are becoming Insta famous, where literally they've done nothing else but build an Instagram platform. So they've kind of developed their business tactic and their posting schedules and what they post and their message around being an Insta celebrity, if you will. And so on that flip side, somebody who comes from a background like you already get the followers from being a person of interest that they've followed from the show, but you didn't necessarily ask to become an influencer. So how do you deal with that and trying to keep your Instagram like just you and really authentically you, but still dealing with the fact that you're now an influencer and you're kind of pushed into that role?
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting point. People often have asked me, how did you gain such a large following? Like, what tactics do you use? And the honest answer is I didn't. Like, it was all from Degrassi. It all stemmed from that audience. I think a lot of my followers actually are even in the States. So it kind of, I don't want to say it was done for me, but there certainly was a huge platform there. So, I mean, there's that for one thing. And then, absolutely, like you said, having this huge following, it's just kind of this automatic, okay, now you're considered an influencer, which I think when I first got out of Degrassi, I just kind of thought it was cool to have all these followers, and I didn't really understand what kind of reach I could have in the world. But, you know, kind of after going to school and learning more about social media and promotion online, I am so thankful that I do have a reach that I do. I mean, some people have more, some people have less.
Sure, yeah.
But it's awesome that I'm able to use this to, you know, not just share the happy moments of my life, but also to share things like body positivity and mental health awareness, stuff like that. I think I'm pretty lucky in the sense that I kind of have a voice that was almost given to me. And I just want to do my best to use it to the best of my abilities.
Yeah, absolutely. And so on that note of body positivity, how do you maintain a body positive attitude? And where did this start? Because I know a lot of people, a lot of young girls especially, are looking at images on Instagram, whether they're edited or not. They're looking at these images and they're feeling badly about themselves. So how do you navigate that?
This wasn't always a thing. And I mean, still, I struggle all the time with body image, but a huge realization for me, and I think it just comes with growing up and learning a lot more about life and other people's lives, is just the fact that I'm able to wake up in the morning and dress myself and brush my own teeth and make myself breakfast and do all of these everyday things that unfortunately not everyone gets to do. That was a huge realization for me, where I needed to change my perspective from appearance-based to kind of health-based. And I think that was huge. But I mean, in regards to looking at Instagram and not comparing myself, it's so hard. Like, I do it all the time. I'm like, wow, that girl is so beautiful. What the heck? Like, why don't I look like that? But, you know, I also had to come to terms with the fact that everyone is made the same. You know, if the whole world was the same, it would be super boring. Like,
yeah,
you know, like everyone has their own body shape. Everyone's body has their own place where they're comfortable. And I think I needed to start respecting myself more than I was, because when I was on Degrassi, I spent hours and days and nights and all the time, I just was hating the way that I looked, and people were telling me I was fat on the internet, and there was just so much negativity, and I completely forgot about the one fact that I am absolutely a healthy being and I'm capable of so many things, and that literally has nothing to do with the way I look.
Yeah. And how did you get there? Well, like, how did you get to the point where you came to that realization?
Definitely it took a while, and I proudly went to therapy for like a year.
Yeah.
No judgment there. I don't know. And I think, you know, my little sister, she just started high school, and I honestly feel in a way this kind of saved me selfishly, because I see her, and, you know, growing up in high school, there's already so much that you're worried about. Now add on to the fact that they're all looking on Instagram, and half of these women have lip injections and butt implants, and to each their own. Like, if someone wants to do that, by all means. But it's just, you know, society has created this unachievable image that, like, we're all supposed to look like. And I realized now, when I'm on Instagram, instead of looking for people I can compare to, I'm trying to find people that I can look up to. And I just said to myself, if I can be that one account that my little sister looks at and goes, oh, okay, like, she doesn't have lip injections or her butt implants done, and, you know, she still has friends, a boyfriend, she has a home, like, she has a life, like, just putting out there that it's going to be okay if you don't look like Kim Kardashian, I think, is what started for me. I think helping others kind of helped myself, if that makes sense.
And I think that one thing I can really say about your account that I really like is I see a lot of posts where I'll kind of look through comments and things, and people will be asking you, oh, what do you do for your skin? What do you do for this? Like, you look so good. And the fact is, your skin is beautiful. I've seen it in pictures. I've seen it in person. But you do let people know that a lot of that is genetics as well. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do take care of yourself. You do hydrate. You do eat healthy as much as you can. But I think that it's good to say that, like, you know what? Some things are just how they are.
Yeah.
And like, it's just, it is what it is, right? And you're really, I know that you're really good with makeup, and you let people know that. And sometimes you wear really well done makeup. Other times you're more fresh faced. And I think being completely honest and transparent, I think there was a really large movement to be quote unquote makeup free, or these no makeup selfies on Instagram. And in my opinion, that doesn't mean that you're exuding more confidence if you're not wearing makeup. I think that some people really like to wear makeup. And if that's you and your best self, and that's you expressing yourself, is by wearing your makeup nicely done, or however you want it to be, I think that that can be confidence too.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, there is a huge movement right now on Instagram and social media, which I'm so loving for self-love and body confidence, and it's amazing. And I think it's really gonna help kind of shape the way for especially young girls growing up and even adult women. You know, I think it's helpful to see these accounts. But yeah, I completely agree. You have to remember where you come from, and that was also something that I wanted to change for myself because, you know, I look at my mom and all of her sisters and myself and my cousins, and we literally all have the exact same body. You know, we gain weight where we gain our weight. And for so long, I hated that and I resented my genetics. And you know, I think I never directly disrespected my mother or where I came from, but I was spending a lot of hate based off of where I came from. And then I had to look in the mirror and say, this woman just gave me a life. So why am I spending all this time hating the body that she has created for me? So, you know, looking at things from a different perspective certainly changed, at least my body positivity and my confidence. And, you know, I think if a lot of people could kind of look at it that way, it's not going to cure all your problems, but it might help.
And I think you mentioned going to therapy and getting the proper help that you need can really help you create the tools to start coping and working through any issues that you're dealing with as well.
Yeah, it's really important. I mean, there's only so much advice your friends can give you, and there's only so much picking up of yourself that you can do. I think it comes to a point where professional help might even be necessary, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like, people take these courses in school and studies, and they do it all for a reason, and they're there for a reason. And, you know, I don't like that there's still a huge stigma that therapy is like kind of weird. Like, I love that. Like, I know people are uncomfortable when I'm so open about therapy, but I really want to change that because it was huge for me, and I think it could be huge for other people.
Well, and the whole movement to be more open about mental health and erase the stigma is just about understanding that a mental illness like anxiety or depression is really equivalent to someone who has high blood pressure
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
acne or digestive issues. It's really the same thing, and we all have to kind of understand that and respect that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And so with Instagram, with the rise in Instagram, I know I was, I want to say 20 when Instagram came out. I was either 19 or 20 when Instagram came out, and so you were probably a couple years younger. And so we were already pretty teenagers. And so what do you think about now? People are having Instagram at like your sister has had Instagram, and she is how old now?
She's turning 15 this year. It's blowing my mind.
And she's had Instagram for at
Pretty much
least
her
a
whole life.
Like they've had access. So how do you think this impacts? Like I can only imagine like the types of pictures I would probably take with my friends and of myself and the awkward phases I was going through and posting those open for the world to see and being not at a level of development of your brain so you know how to properly interact with people and those sorts of things. How do you think that's impacting just our culture in general?
I mean, there's a huge amount of pressure now, I think, on especially young girls growing up. You know, when I was 15, my inspiration was my sister, and I remember feeling even jealous and insecure around her and her friends because, you know, they had all matured and they got to wear like push-up bras, and I was still like trying to figure out my makeup. And I couldn't imagine having on top of that like literal supermodels that I could compare myself to. And I sometimes scroll on social media and I come across these accounts and I'm like, I'm pretty sure this person's 15 and they do their makeup better than me. What the heck? Like, I think there's just a lot more pressure to look a certain way, apparently, no matter what age you are. And I think, you know, there's way more of an outlet for girls to show themselves off, which I'm all for self-expression and self-exploring and all of that. But, you know, the old saying, sex sells, obviously that's very apparent on Instagram. And I think, you know, if young girls are seeing, oh, well, this picture got a lot of likes, and that one she's in a bikini, but the one with that girl in a turtleneck didn't get as many likes. Like, I think that all plays a huge part in kind of Instagramming for people these days. And it's a shame because Instagram obviously was created to share moments with each other. It obviously was not created for, I mean, I hope so, not created for comparing. But I think it's just, there must be a huge pressure that are on kids and teenage girls growing up these days. And I'm happy that I'm the age that I am now and I don't have to deal with it, but you know, we're still dealing with it, which is, I guess, the sad thing.
Absolutely. And so when you're on social media, even now, do you feel pressure with what you post, or kind of if you really want to share a picture, do you second guess it?
Yes. I mean, I think I've gotten better at it, but I will say I still play around with filters and I stare at pictures for quite a long time before I post them. But sometimes I stress that I'm almost being too much of myself on Instagram. Like, if you go to any blogger or professional Instagrammer, most of their posts are all, they have the same theme and the colors match and everything.
Yeah, presets.
Well, yeah, presets and planned out. And I often wish that I could be someone like that and my Instagram would look so perfect and pretty like that. But that just like does not match my personality. Yeah. I'm all over the map. I don't want to say I'm crazy, but I'm definitely outgoing. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes I'm like, damn it, why did I post that? It didn't match this picture. And I think about it, but you know, for me, I prefer to look at Instagram as an outlet of my highlights and things that I'm excited about and things I want to share instead of something that needs to be perfect, because there's just already so much perfectness on Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really a false sense of perfection, and many concerns with social media is the false representation of what's actually going on in an individual's life. I have a few thoughts on this. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's more apparent than ever that Photoshop is so easily accessible. I used to use it all the time. I would get rid of my under eye bags and make myself look skinnier and all the things. I'm so happy I don't do that anymore. But of course, I mean, now it's gotten so good that you almost don't even know. And it's like, what's real and what's not? What can I believe? What can I not? And it's a shame, because people should just be able to take a picture of themselves and say, this is what I look like, and that should be enough. And I don't think it's appropriate to think that we need to edit ourselves before we can post something online. I don't know. I think, again, there's just so much pressure going into it. I don't know. Like, I like social media because there's room for promotion. And like I said earlier, there's now way more accounts about self-love and body positivity. Mm-hmm. But just that pressure to alter yourself before posting about anything it's not good.
Yeah. And on that note too, people argue that, oh, you only post the best things on Instagram. And so no one ever knows. Everybody is jealous of, oh, you were here and you were there and you're traveling. And I have a couple thoughts about that, because I feel like, yes, it is a false representation of, I guess, what's going on in your life in terms of like good things versus bad things. But I think that it's the same as if you were in a group of people, let's say, and you're not going to tell every single person you meet that, hey, I just broke up with my boyfriend, or hey, we're in a fight, or hey, you know what? I just suffered a miscarriage, or like, those aren't the things that you just go tell to everyone. So I think that similarly, it's fair to not post those things on social media. And certainly for those who are very open and sharing their stories, they might be sharing it with random people if they were in a crowd of random people.
Yeah.
But I don't think that means you need to be sharing that on social media. And so you might not agree with that, but what do you think?
No, I do agree. I think, you know, not everything needs to be posted. Everyone kind of has a chapter that they don't want to read out loud. Yeah. I think it's,
oh, I love that.
Yeah. Well, I certainly know I have some.
Yeah.
So I agree. Like, we're all human and it's natural to not want to blast to the world that you had the worst day of your life. Yeah. But I also think it's nice when people recognize and acknowledge the fact that, hey, this is the highlights. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, my life is not perfect. I think that is really great. And I've seen that a lot more on social media recently, at least, which I like. If it be just posting a selfie, like with your hair looking like crap, just saying like, you know what, today I didn't feel it. Like, just it's little things like that that allow for reality to creep in without overexposing yourself and telling the world things that you don't even feel comfortable telling. So I agree with you.
Yeah. And I think that also there's a more realness to our fakeness, if that makes any sense, because now we're saying, like, I'm confident in myself and I get lip injections and so what? Or I'm confident in myself and I've had Botox and I don't really care because that's what I wanted to do. And so people, I feel like, are being more open with that sort of thing.
Yeah, I like that. And I've always been someone that's like to each their own. Like, if you want to do all the things and alter yourself and do whatever, then if that's what's going to make you feel better at the end of the day, then go for it. Like, who am I to tell someone what makes them happy? But I think it's really great when people are open about that. Like, there's nothing worse than, when someone has their lips on and they're like, no, it's like, come on. Like,
Natural.
let's just like be honest, own it. Like, I respect that more than someone who's trying to actually fake it. Like, someone who's just open about
Absolutely.
it. I'm like, good for you. Like, confidence is key.
Exactly. And so I wanted to look at some of the research on social media and self-esteem and mental health. And so I actually found a study that said individuals with lower self-esteem have actually been shown to be more active online in terms of more making more self-promotional content. And so what do you think about that? Does that ring true? What do you think?
I think that's really interesting. I kind of feel like I want to relate it back to bullies. Like, it's like, people have been saying this for years. Like, typically when someone's bullying someone, it's because something really crappy is going on in their own life. And I think sometimes people that are on social media that are very active and maybe are the ones that are portraying this perfect life might be the ones that are actually feeling the worst. And sometimes portraying something that's pretend can make you feel better, and that's amazing. But I think it is an interesting study because I think it probably is true, you know?
And so it's similar to people who say like relationships that are plastered all over social media, they're often not the best in real life because people are trying to put out this image of like, we're good, everybody, we're good. Like, don't worry about us.
I know, I
Whereas
know.
other people kind of who keep a lower profile, and some people just love to post, like after I got married, I posted a million
Oh my
photos,
gosh,
but that's kind of that ebbs and flows and whatever else. But I think that in general, you're kind of like almost overcompensating for what isn't going on.
Yeah, that's just it, right? Like, exact. That's such a good point. Like, people that are just like, we are so great. It's like, well, are you?
Yeah,
I don't know. And I
exactly.
don't, it's a shame to say that I would think that way. Like, obviously, I want to take everything as genuine as it is. But yeah, I think that study's totally accurate. I think people, it's so easy to fake it these days. Like, you literally can go and just take a picture somewhere. You could like change the background and just be like, today was the best, but really, you had the worst day ever.
Exactly. And so another study looking at they looked at Facebook use, and they looked at students who were on Facebook, and they found that using Facebook was linked to the participants' impression of others' lives. So they found that the more these people were on Facebook, they actually had the impression that others had a better life than them, and it made them feel more that their lives were not fair.
I mean, yeah, I'm like, well, that makes sense to me. Like, if you're constantly looking at other people's lives and you're constantly comparing yourself, and it's so easy to put on this act that I live this rich and famous and luxurious lifestyle, then of course you're going to start to feel like, what am I missing out on? Why am I not doing that? Or why didn't I get there in my life? And you start asking yourself these questions that you probably wouldn't be asking yourself if you're not looking at those pictures.
Yeah, if you're not exposed to it. And so I've actually read a lot of studies that say that social media and Facebook and all of these sorts of things are supposed to increase our connection, but they're actually making us feel a lot more lonely. And so, how do you think we can create more human connection in the rise of the digital space?
Well, I will say, I think that is one thing I believe social media is awesome for is long distance relationships. I've known, like, I've had times where my friends have moved on the other side of the world, and FaceTime and Instagram, like, that's kind of how we keep up with each other's lives. And I think that's awesome. And I've also had some people in my life that have had like massive success from online dating, which is also amazing. So I think social media being used to make connection is great, but I think the key is to get off social media like as soon as you can. Like, if you meet a guy or a girl or whoever online, make the connection, set up a date, and then like go get a drink or go get a coffee and have a real conversation in person and connect and have that emotion there. Because again, like, you can just hide behind a screen, and there's even that show Catfish. Like, there's just so many things that can go wrong and can be fake. And I think, the second you can get off social media and go and experience real life emotion and connection, then I think, yeah, it's a great platform for connection in itself. But yeah, you got to get offline.
And I think, yeah, and I think that with people like yourself who have a large following, I find that a lot of people start to disconnect. Like for myself, I don't have a large following, so I don't find that I get negative comments on my on my posts, because I feel like people who have a smaller following, people are like, yeah, they're a real person, so I'm not going to say something like out of out of their 500 followers, they're going to see my one comment. But I feel like people have this sense of, they, if someone has a ton of followers, they feel like, oh, they're not going to see my comment, they're not a real person, so I'm going to say whatever I want. So do you get negative comments on your photos, on your posts?
You know what? They are rare, few and far between, but they do happen, which is great. I think it was more apparent when I was on Degrassi, and to, you know, kind of cater to your point, I think I had more exposure then. And I think maybe people thought, oh, she's not going to see this, she's on TV or stuff like that. But the funny thing is, I think I looked for the negative comments more when I was on Degrassi than I do now. Which I think is a huge, I guess, explanation of my growth as a person and my confidence, because now if I see something negative, I'm just like, delete, block, I don't need that in my life. Whereas before, if I saw something negative, it would like ruin my week. Like I would think about it forever. And I think it's natural to dwell on the negative. People do that. It happens, especially if they're coming at you with something personal, like your acting or your outfit or the way you look, like something you can't even change. It's like, why are you yelling at me about this? So yeah, it's tough, but I will say the comments are few and far between, and I think those people are just doing it to try to make themselves feel better, which is sad, but I get it.
Yeah. well, exactly. And people have to understand, especially people who do that, it's so easy to hide behind a computer. And I think that's the rise in bullying, is that,
oh my God, cyberbullying.
And way back before this was even, social media was even a thing when we were younger, it was like, if somebody was a bully, they had to have the confidence to go be a bully. Like you had to say something and you had to deal with the repercussions of somebody being like, whoa, what did you just say?
That's bringing me back to elementary school, but now,
and you're like the big guy and you like push him around, but now it's like anybody can get on the internet anonymously and type whatever they're feeling, and then they put it out there, and they don't understand that when you put it out there, they put it out there forever.
Yeah, that is a really good point. And I think that kind of attests to the downside of growing up in today's world, having social media, is the fact that it's just so accessible to be mean to one another. Like, I don't like that social media is used for that, but it just gives bullies an outlet to hide behind something, but still let someone know how they feel, good or bad. Like, my little sister's told me there's apps where you can like anonymously write something about someone you know. It's like, I'm like, what? Like, why? First of all, why was this app created? Like, who was the evil person in the world that did that? And just things like that, that, you know, I didn't have, and people older than me didn't have, stuff like that that's being inputted into today's world is super dangerous.
And I think that also there's, I've also seen, I know some of my younger cousins' kids and that sort of thing I see on social media. And I think you can really see the lack of maturity in their brains are not developed. And you'll see them post something on their Instagram story, let's say, and it says something like, I don't really remember the wording, but it's something along the lines of, message me for a rating, or you send them an emoji.
Yeah.
And then you post the emoji.
I've seen that.
Yeah. And you rate each other. And you can, so you can go to school, and I know back in the day when we were younger, obviously there was times where girls said mean things or boys said mean things, and you just go home and then you come back the next day at school, and now people are accessible all the time, so you could be bullied at school and then you go home and you're messaged on Instagram and then you're on Facebook and that sort of thing.
There's really no safety zone these days, and there's no escaping it. I mean, to completely shut yourself off from the world now is difficult, and I mean, it's second nature for all of us to want to be on our phone these days. But before, like you said, if someone said something, you would just have to replay it in your head and move on. But now it's like you can literally reread something over and over and experience that emotion and that hurt all the time. And it's terrible, and I think that's a huge downside to social media and cyberbullying and all that. It's tough. And again, I don't know, like, it, I don't know how everyone's going to figure this out, because social media is not going anywhere, and it's great for so many things, but yeah, there's a huge concern for online bullying, I will say.
Absolutely. And so on that same note, you've been really open with your struggles with mental health. And so tell me a little bit about that and how's that shaped kind of who you are and how'd you get past it? Or do you continue to go through it now?
I think it's a bit of an ongoing battle. I'm forever and have always been an avid overthinker. I overthink everything.
Yeah.
Which
as a lot of us do.
Yeah. And it really does contribute to my anxiety. And you know, I do have some bad days every now and again, not as many as I used to have, but for me, knowing that there are people in my life who I can call and lean on to get through those tough times is definitely helpful. But I think that was a huge part of me getting through it, because I think for a while I was trying to just deal with it myself, and I've never been good at keeping secrets or keeping things in. Like, I'm really expressive. So I think that was also kind of what led me down a bit of a downward spiral, is trying to deal with all those emotions on my own, and recognizing that, you know what, I think I might need someone to help me get through this was huge, huge for me to kind of get through that tough time, which led to going to therapy, which it was important. It was nice to have someone truly just listen, a third party. They don't really know people in my life.
Yeah,
that was really nice. But also it really just helped me kind of understand my own thoughts. And now when I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, I can kind of go through points and things that we've discussed. And it just helps you kind of understand why you're feeling the way you're feeling, and accepting that it's okay. And accepting that you kind of have to feel what you're feeling in order to get through it. Because if you just keep putting it off and bottling it up, then you're just going to explode. which
absolutely
happens.
Yeah, and nobody's perfect, and everybody's kind of a work in progress.
Yeah.
And for you, I know that music's been a huge part of your life, and you're extremely talented, and I've heard you sing and I've heard you play. And so on that note of kind of your emotions, does that feed into your music? Does that help you write? Does writing and playing music help to relieve some of those emotions or release some of those feelings?
Well, thank you for the kind words. truthfully, I do miss music a lot. That's probably something I miss the most from, I'll call it, my past life. It really was my outlet growing up. I honestly started writing songs because I was bullied in elementary school. And then if I loved a guy, I would write a song about that. And if my friends were mean, I'd write that. Like, it really was a huge outlet for me. But I will say the music industry was extremely tough on me. You know, I spent a lot of time there really trying to make it, we'll say, and, you know, things happen, and I believe things happen for a reason, but I still kind of struggle with how everything ended there. And truthfully, there is still some resentment, and I wish I had done things differently.
Yeah.
And it was just tough, because music, I will say, is probably the one thing I would use to kind of describe who I am as a person. And to kind of have someone and people toy with that, it certainly left a mark.
Yeah. And do you still, not in a professional capacity, but do you still write and play and do all that stuff on your own?
So I haven't written a song in years, which breaks my heart to say out loud, but I just, I don't know. Like, I just, every time I do it, it kind of just brings me back to a vulnerable place in not a good way. I mean, I think vulnerability is important, and it's a good thing, but I don't know. I still kind of struggle with getting back to where I used to be, which is kind of what, I mean, kind of stirred me to start my blog, because writing is an outlet for me. Writing makes my soul happy. It's something I'm passionate about. So my blog was the first time I had written not musically, and that was really great. And that's been something that I've noticed has been super helpful. And it's been really nice seeing the response that I've gotten. But I would love to start writing again. I mean, I play guitar and I learn covers and I sing at the cottage and things like that. And music is still a huge part of my life. But I think it would be really nice if I could start writing one day, whenever that is.
Yeah. And I think when people, I've read your blog and I love your blog.
Thank you.
I think it's really, again, like, vulnerable and genuine. And I think a lot of people who don't really know you see you as this, like, happy, go lucky, really outgoing, confident woman. And it's really easy to feel like jealous or feel intimidated by you. I think a lot of people feel that way when they first meet you. But I think this blog really helps kind of tear down some of those walls and helps people understand kind of the real you. So talk about a little bit of the things that you write about for people who haven't read your blog, or for people who are interested in reading it.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's really nice of you to say, because that's kind of the whole point of it. So that's amazing that that's coming across, because yeah, I think given my background in, you know, the media and with Degrassi and, you know, the tour I did with Nelly, like stuff like that, I think absolutely, I completely understand why someone would have ideas about me or feel a certain way about me. But yeah, my blog is just really an introduction to who I am behind all of that. You know, I pride myself in my professionalism and being able to do all of those things, but that doesn't mean that my life is perfect. So what I wanted to write about in my blog was kind of the reality behind all of that. And I wanted to say, like, look, this is what it looks like on the outside, but behind the scenes, this happened, and that's why this happened. And, you know, people used to call me fat on the internet and tell me my singing sucks and my acting sucks, and you know, it's things like that. And then being open about my struggles with body positivity and kind of what helps me there. And, you know, now the reality of adulting and working 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, like just, I'm trying to speak to everyday things that, you know, the average everyday person experiences, but doesn't think that someone with my following and history would also be experiencing. So I think it's kind of unique in that way, where it's almost unexpected to read. And I think that's why people are kind of interested in it. I don't want to say pretty interested, but
yeah, people, no, I've seen the feedback and people really like it. And I feel like we have such a culture in women, especially women, tearing each other down to make make themselves feel better. And I really can't stand it. And I feel like you really stand behind lifting each other up and supporting each other, because tearing someone's walls down doesn't help build yours. And I think people need to realize that and really take that. And the people who are being torn down need to realize that it's coming from a place of insecurity from someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. It still blows my mind when women are cruel to each other, because it's like, hello, like we're all in the same world. We're all doing this together. Like,
And it's 2019, like let's figure it out.
So I think it's great when there are movements that do promote women helping women and women lifting each other up, stuff like that, because yeah, it's definitely, it still blows my mind that that happens, but I'm super proud to promote things like that on my blog and my social media, and kind of coming together and realizing like we are all human, you know, we all experience the same things. Some of us may make more money than the other, but that does not mean we're not going through the same thing. And I think, I think just promoting kind of that we kind of got to be in this together, because here we all are.
Exactly. And I think something that really stuck with me is I saw someone post, I don't even know what it was, what Instagram account, but somebody posted that you'll never be criticized by someone doing more than you.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to just kind of go back to that. When somebody's criticizing you, it's kind of like just being able to understand that they're coming from a place of insecurity, and they might be coming from a place of vulnerability, and how people react and what people say 99.9% of the time has nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. Yeah. So I think that's something we all have to really take home as and understand is, and that's something I've found really hard, especially as a naturopath who treats patients and sees people all the time. And there's a few scenarios where I can feel like something that's happened has been as a result of me. And I really have to think about it and take a step back and say, you know what? No, it actually wasn't a result of me. It was a result of this person going through this situation that impacted their belief. It created their belief system. Yeah. And that's why they reacted the way they did.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. I'm going through something like that now at work, and you know, it is tough, and it's a hard struggle to constantly have to remind yourself like this actually has nothing to do with me. It's a complete reflection of how they feel about themselves. And I even got Demi Lovato came out with a book of quotes, and there's a positive or
inspiring
quote. Yeah, I have it on my desk and I read it every day, like the quote of the day. I read it when I'm feeling down or I need a little bit of motivation or reminder. It's for me, it's been really helpful. And there's tons of quotes in there about bullies and things like that, that you have to remember it's their own thing, and forgiveness and letting go of jealousy and stuff like that is so rewarding. And in tough situations like that, if you're able to forgive someone for kind of being a jerk and you're able to understand where someone else is coming from. I mean, it certainly has helped me, whether or not it helps relationships or bullies or what it is, I don't know. But, you know, sometimes you got to have your own back and you got to do what you got to do to get through the day being you. Yep. And yeah, it's helpful to remember that. And that's also a really good book.
Yeah, I'll have to pick it up. I've seen it. It looks good. And also coming from a place of self-love and realizing that those feelings that somebody put, they don't belong to you, right? Those feelings of sadness, those feelings of stress as a result of what somebody else has said, that feeling isn't yours and it doesn't need to be yours. So just kind of reflecting on the fact that, okay, that's somebody else's feeling. That's not my feeling. And being able to work through that as well.
Yeah, super freeing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the last thing I really wanted to talk about is I saw some articles. I thought this was really fitting in the news. I know Aerie kind of really drove the movement of no longer photoshopping their models, which I think is really, really great. And so from the perspective of being a model before and being, or you still do modeling, actually, I've seen lots of recent stuff, but so being photographed. And so from the perspective of a model, what do you think about that not being photoshopped? Does that make you feel vulnerable? Does it make you feel good? Like, what's the feeling around that?
So when I was on Degrassi, pretty much any photo shoot I did, I'd always go up to the photographer after and be like, Photoshop the whole thing, like, do what you got to do. Yeah. Like, I was so open about, like, let's just make me look perfect. And oftentimes they did, and sometimes they almost overdid it. And I was like, that doesn't even look like me. like, it was kind of ended up being a bad thing. But now that's like the last thing I want. I mean, I'm trying to celebrate, you know, the wrinkles and the flab and all the things I think I have. So I think hearing that, I think it's so inspiring and so motivating. And I think if I was a professional model, it almost might be a cool opportunity for models to showcase who they really are, because I'm sure a large portion of several models' careers have been photoshopped. So I think it might be cool to be like, I'm actually really good at modeling. Like, this is me without anything. I think it's really cool. And it opens up, kind of opens up a whole new opportunity for not just models, but for everyone.
Yeah. And I think from the perspective of like, I'm a full adult and I know that photoshopping goes on and editing goes on. But even still, when I look at these images, I'm like, oh, they're just perfect. And that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah. Aerie really does and you have some beautiful girls.
Yeah. And then you see the photos and you're like, oh, okay. Like, I was really upset about the fact that I had this little roll here. Yeah. Or the fact that I felt like my hip went out too far. But oh, this woman, I think, is beautiful. And it looks like we have the same type of skin. Hers isn't completely clear and flat and free of lines, right?
Yeah.
So I think that
It's really nice to see, like, to be able to look at something and actually relate, you know, if someone has stretch marks or a scar or like something just doesn't look right on them, but it also doesn't look right on you, like, just being able to connect on something that's human, I think, is awesome.
Yeah. And so on top of that, with that movement, things like ASOS is starting to use unretouched images. CVS Pharmacy has actually taken out photoshopping images in their marketing. And they actually have a symbol that you can find on their images.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That they mean they're unretouched. Hmm. So I think it's really cool, the movement of just being natural. Yeah. We went from this like fake culture to still, there is still some things that are fake, but I feel like we're more, like we said before, we're more open about those things that aren't real, like the injections and the Botox, and we're more open about doing that because we feel free that we do it. And then the fact that we're not photoshopping our images as much just helps us really see the reality of everything.
I think it's awesome to be able to relate to something that's real, you know, and to have that. And I'm so happy to hear that about ASOS. I love ASOS.
And it's just like a random online company. They don't have a store, do they?
I don't know. I've only ever ordered online. I'm pretty sure it's based out of the UK, I think. I don't know. I'm a bad online shopper.
So I think that that's great that a company like that can start to do that as well. And so on that note of of you. So what does the future hold? Like, what's next for you?
I've really been trying to think about this lately because I am feeling a little lost in my career. So my goal, I would love, love, love to get back into the media and public relations industry, whether it be on camera or off camera. I'm not sure yet, but I'm looking forward to being excited to go into work every day. And I know that's mm-hmm. that's a huge reach. I mean, I said earlier, so many people in this world hate their jobs, and I don't even hate my current job. It's just, it's not making my soul excited or inspired. Yeah. So I would love to kind of put some energy into finding where I fit, because a lot of my life has been spent bouncing from job to job. So I am looking forward to having something, to having the right fit and finding somewhere where I just feel I belong. So I mean that, and I've said it before, all of a sudden I just like think about babies all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm definitely in no rush. I'm only 25. I literally live in a shoebox downtown, so no room for babies, but
that's okay.
Yeah, right. It's perfect.
Babies don't need much room.
It's perfect for where I'm at, but I'm looking forward to seeing where my relationship goes, and living with my boyfriend's been really interesting, and getting to know each other on a deeper level has been really fun, and a lot of things.
It's a learning experience.
I'll say it's been a lot, but it's been a lot of fun also. So that's been really nice. And, you know, marriage, all the things, like, it's just, it almost sounds so cliche, but I do look forward to that part of my life and kind of seeing all of that happen.
And so I'm a huge, huge proponent of doing what makes you happy and what literally sets your soul on fire, because I feel like life is such a waste if you don't. And I guess I'm a little bit biased because I just spent $1 million on school, so I don't really have an option, but I can genuinely say that I love what I do. And so what would make you happy? What's the future look like if you could have the job of your dreams?
I've always thought I would be really great at hosting, add something, or I mean, I don't know. I don't even want to just like boost myself here, but I just feel like, I don't know.
Why not? Boost yourself.
Something like that. Seriously. Or even just working back in the media industry, if it be behind the scenes, you know, doing PR for a company, that would be awesome. I studied PR. I'm really passionate about brand execution and brand awareness and being the face of a brand, things like that. So, I mean, for now, what I'm trying to do to get this in place is focus. I mean, obviously my bills need to be paid. You know, I need a job. Yep. So I have a job. So I have to be thankful for that. You know, focusing on things like my blog and making relationships on social media with different companies, and kind of just getting my own name out there and building some awareness of my own brand as a part-time job to start. And then from where it goes from there, I mean, I guess time will tell. And I just truly believe that every day I'm leading towards where I'm supposed to be, where that exactly is. I don't really know, but I have such a good feeling about the future, which is nice. I've always been excited about the future. I've always been excited about what's to come. I just want to remind myself not to rush it, because, you know, there was a time just a few months ago where I was dreaming about some of the things I have now. So I need to remember that, you know, if you focus on something enough and you're passionate about it, it will happen. And then not rushing to get to the next thing. Like, I think it's important for me to remember to kind of embrace where I'm at, because I've worked so hard to get here, and then I can work hard to get to the next place and so forth.
Absolutely. And ask, believe, receive, right? Manifesting is huge.
Yeah.
So being able to understand that, and also just be okay with where we're at and just live in the moment, because life just starts going so fast when we're always looking for the next thing.
It really,
thing, right?
really does. And I mean, you know, we're so fortunate to have the things that we do at the time that we have them. And so just remembering that, and just kind of embracing change and embracing the day to day struggles, because I think it all really one day is going to make sense. I hope so.
Absolutely. That's the hope, right? Well, Jessica, thank you so much. It's been so fun. I'm glad that you could come on the podcast, and thank you for being so candid and open. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Your questions were awesome. I feel so good about this, and I'm really happy and excited to share this with everyone.
Yeah, same. So for those of you who don't already follow Jessica Tyler, it's on Instagram at Jessica Tyler Official. If you have any questions, feel free to send them through to the podcast, Laura at laurapiefer.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Laura ND. Thank you for listening to the Well Women Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.